What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Mind Over Macros podcast. As always, I am your host, Mike Milner. And today's episode, I'm going to tell you the only three reasons. That's right. One, two, three. Only three. Only three reasons why you are not making the progress that you want to make. If you are pursuing a fat loss goal, body composition goal, you want to build muscle, you want to live longer, you just want to be healthy and fit, whatever that looks like for you, there are only three reasons. That's it. There are only three reasons why you're not progressing the way that you want. Now, within those three buckets, you might say that there are little subcategories, but it all comes back to the big three. I'm going to tell you exactly what they are in this episode. And before I get into that, of course, I have to ask for a favor or two or three, but really just one. It's spread the love. That's it. The way that you spread the love is you leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And of course, when you do that, you're eligible to win a free supplement of your choice from one of our sponsors, Organifi, Legion Athletics, or Cured Nutrition. Got to hang out with some of the wonderful folks at Cured at the Real Coaches Summit in Las Vegas. Just amazing people. Great, great people. Anyway, if you leave a 5-star rating and review, first, just open up the podcast app on your phone. Go to the search button. Even if you are following or subscribed to the show, which you should be, that's another way that you can spread the love, is just subscribe, follow wherever it is that you listen. But even if you're subscribed, go to the search button, type in Mind Over Macros, tap on the show, and then scroll all the way down until you see the ratings and reviews, and then you'll see a button that says write a review. And I pick one winner every single week on the Wednesday episode that you get to choose any supplement from one of our sponsors, and we send it totally free. So there's that. You can also share on Instagram or just send episodes that resonate with you to friends or family. And that's how you spread the love. So speaking of Vegas, I had something pretty funny happen. Amazing event, by the way. Real Coaches Summit. I talked a little bit about it in prior episodes, but so cool just to be around like-minded people who are all on the same mission, just wanting to help people, just wanting to improve the lives of other individuals. It's a pretty like pure, if you think about it, like having 250 coaches all together learning and furthering their education. And what was really special for me was having the POP team, not all of the POP team, but those that could make it all together was really cool. We had myself and Mel. Mel was there until she had to leave for a work trip. So the event was Monday and Tuesday. Mel and I went on Friday. We got in very late Friday, and then she had to leave on Monday for a work trip. So it was myself and Mel, and then we had JK, who is our programming master, who writes all of the POP training programs because he is as good as it gets in that regard. We had Coach Liz, Coach Sarah, Coach Jen, and also Coach Jen, Jen H and Jen C. Am I missing anybody? I think that was it. Coach Jimmy, of course. So yeah, it was nice to have the POP team well represented at the event. And it's funny because we all work together and we have our like team calls and we talk about clients, but like meeting in person rarely ever happens. So it definitely added, like, we had a ton of laughs and fun and dinner together, and just there was things that we learned about each other. We learned that JK orders his steak medium well. So I understand if you want to now unfollow him, that would make sense. He ordered that the collective gasp when he ordered a medium well steak was quite hilarious. We learned about some interesting stories around previous like dating experiences. And anyway, it was just a lot of laughs and really cool. I actually told Aram, who runs the event, and I said it was like one of those unexpected things that happened in terms of like value. You know, obviously we go there because we want to be around other coaches. We want to learn. We want to further our education. And there's all these wonderful presenters and things like that. And I said, one of the most underrated takeaways for me was the like having my team there and the, and now like our, just like the vibe in our team chat is just much different. It's just like there's more familiarity, comfort, humor. I don't know. It just kind of sparked a little bit of life, which was really cool. So I mentioned that to Aram, who is the coordinator of the event, puts it all together. And I know how challenging that can be to do events. So anyway, so what the funny thing was that I've talked about my own fat loss phase, right? So Mel and I go out there Friday night and you know, it's a long flight. It was like 5.5 hours on the way out. And we got in super late, so no issues. And then Saturday, we had a very packed day of, we worked out, we ate a big breakfast, we walked the entire strip. So like the idea was, let's start at the north end of the strip and let's just walk all the way to the south end and stop in whatever like casinos or stores or whatever look interesting. Because Mel has been to Vegas for work, but she's never actually like explored Vegas. It's always been like stuck in a conference or a meeting or something like that. She never actually explored Vegas. So we're walking like all over the place. She's stopping and shopping and we're just like checking out all the different sites and whatever. And then Saturday night we had tickets to see Cirque du Soleil. Michael Jackson one. So they have different Cirque du Soleil options. And we chose the Michael Jackson one option, which I highly, highly recommend. If you have not seen that show, it is freaking insane. It is so, so good. You know, obviously the music, if you hear Michael Jackson music and you don't dance, there's something wrong with you. So there's the music itself. And then there's just like the acrobatics and the, you know, human body control that these individuals have. And then there was the dancing, which was out of control. And then there was the graphics of like, first of all, the like hologram version of Michael Jackson, which was so cool how they did all of that. And then just like, I don't know, it was like mind blowing, all of the stuff. It's almost like you don't know where to look, because in like one corner, you have somebody who's just like dancing better than you've ever seen. And then you, in the another corner, you have people who are doing like flips and all this stuff and like climbing ropes and flipping around on ropes and stuff. And then you've got these light graphics and, you know, whatever you want to call them, like hologram CGI graphics. I don't even know what to call them, but like, it was almost like, where do I even pay attention? Because there's so much crazy shit happening at once. Phenomenal show. And then, we had a really good dinner and got some delicious donuts for dessert. Anyway, the reason why I'm sharing that is because that was Saturday and we had a lot of delicious food, but we ended up with like 26 to 28,000 steps somewhere. I think Mel came close to 30,000 and I think I was around 26, 27. She gets more steps because she has her little, you know, she's like 5'0" and she has her little tiny. So like one step for me is like three steps for her. It's not really fair. And then she wears an Apple Watch and I don't. So everything is tracked on my phone, whereas hers is a little bit more accurate just from like movement in general. So anyway, and then Sunday, we had some more delicious food and, ended up, that was like the official kickoff of the event. So they did like a welcome happy hour type thing. And then there was the actual event Monday and Tuesday, which also included more delicious food, I did not drink on Monday, but I did drink on Tuesday. But either way, you know, there was, we had insomnia cookies. I got ice cream, had, you know, this really good breakfast place on the strip, and just all of the indulgences. I was treating this as a diet break. Okay. And then I flew home on Wednesday, and Jimmy, who's also a pop coach, and he's the host of the Other Side Lifestyle podcast with Aram, and he's been a guest on here. Anyway, so we were on the same, he lives like 45 minutes from me. So we were on the same flight back, and we went into the Centurion Lounge in the Vegas airport and got like two plates each of breakfast, and just loaded up all the things. And then I came home, and Mel was still on her work trip, and she wasn't coming home until Thursday. And I didn't feel like cooking. I got home, I was tired. It was a long day of travel. So I ordered pizza and had a whole personal pizza to myself. And my point to all of this is that I had Thursday back on track, back on my diet numbers, and Friday back on my fat loss numbers. 2 days. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to see where I am on Saturday. And I was a pound lower than when I left for Vegas. So when I left, I had hit my new low, which was 183.8. And I was like, holy shit. I was kind of where I wanted to fall. And then on Saturday, I was 182.8. So that's top to bottom 13 pounds that I lost. So the reason why I share that is because we're talking about Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 5 days of a diet break of eating whatever the fuck I want, including, I think a total of 5 drinks across those. So averaging 1 drink per night, but I split it up. I think it was just 2 days, 2 nights that I actually drank. So it was, I think the night that Mel and I went out Saturday, I had 3 drinks. And then on Tuesday, I had 2 drinks. So the point is, we don't lose progress in that short period of time. Typically what happens, the issue that most people run into, is they let it carry on when they get home because they think, right, there's this mindset of, well, I screwed everything up on this trip, or they'll make the mistake of weighing in right away. Like, I have no idea what I would have weighed. Like, if I had weighed myself on Thursday morning, that would have been a terrible idea. And I think a lot of people do that because they're like so anxious to see the quote unquote damage. They're like, let me go run on the scale. And it just fucks with their mind. They're like, oh my God, I gained 6 pounds. I lost all of my progress. No, you didn't. The problem is the mindset of, oh, I screwed this up. And then it takes them a while to get their shit together. Or the other side of that coin is they go too extreme, right? Like Thursday, I just went back to my normal fat loss numbers. I didn't try to make up for anything. It was just back to the original plan. I think sometimes people get into trouble because they try to overcompensate. It's like, I'm going to go even lower to try to get some of this like fluff and inflammation and all that stuff. It just, the reason why that doesn't work is because it ends up creating a lack of consistency because you're being too restrictive, and then it ends up backfiring down the road. So now I am officially done the fat loss portion because 182, I'm more than happy with that. If I can live comfortably around 185-ish with, you know, some cushion there, a couple pounds here and there, I'm very happy with that. But here is the key thing that I want to mention. This part of the process is the most important part. I'm not done. Now, I've increased my calories. So the lowest that my calories went were 2,100. Today is officially the first day of eating 2,400. So I've increased my calories by 300. This is the hardest part of the process. It truly is. Because most people finish their fat loss phase And they're like, that's it. I made it. I'm done. The work is over. And in reality, it's kind of just begun. More people struggle coming out of fat loss than being in fat loss. Just think about it. You've probably been in fat loss for most of your adult life, or have at least wanted fat loss. Mentally, you've wanted to lose fat. And yet every single time that you've been successful, meaning you've gotten some weight off, the challenge that most people face is that they can't keep it off. And it's because they act like it's over. And this is why I talk so much about sustainability, because what you do to attain it is what you'll need to do to maintain it. So if you're being too extreme, if you're being too restrictive, if you're being too perfect, and you're doing methods that aren't sustainable, of course you're going to backtrack. Of course, the post-diet, the post-fat loss period is going to be a struggle. This is the hardest part. And I see this with coaching a lot too. We've had clients in the past who are like, I'm so excited. I hit my goal was to lose 30 pounds and I'm 30 pounds down. This is amazing. Thank you so much for everything. I'm going to take it from here. And we're like, whoa, 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 time out. You're literally in the danger zone. Like, this is the danger zone. You have to solidify. You have to get back to a new normal. You have to find that sweet spot where you have established that this is your new norm, that you can live your life with these results, stay here, but also increase the amount of calories you're consuming, the amount of flexibility that you have. Like, what so many people do is they just completely let everything go. And it's like a slow death by a thousand paper cuts, right? Because it's like, well, I'm not dieting anymore. So yeah, I can have this little bit of, you know, I can eat these fries off my kid's plate. I'm not dieting anymore. It's totally fine. It's just a few fries. And then it's like, oh yeah, you know, I can have an extra drink. I'm not dieting anymore. So I can have that extra cocktail. So, oh yeah, we can order DoorDash tonight. I'm not dieting anymore. It's like these little slow death by a thousand paper cuts. And the next thing that you know, all of your progress is gone and you're like, what the fuck happened? It's because this is the hardest part. And I cannot stress this enough. Coming out of, and for myself too, I'm literally speaking to myself right now. I have struggled to do this every time. Now, part of the issue is that when I've dieted in the past, it's been extreme for like a photo shoot. Like the last dieting phase that I did was for a photo shoot. And the one before that was for a photo shoot. So I definitely went to the extreme ends of fat loss. And then it was like, screw it. I was an unstoppable force when it came to consuming calories. I just wanted to eat anything and everything in sight. This is going to be the first fat loss phase in a while where I'm really keeping it framed in. Now, I will increase my flexibility. I'm not going to be as diligent. However, I need to solidify this as the new normal. And I need to slowly build my calories back up to maintenance. So typically what I would do is just stop tracking. Like, I did it. I made it. I'm done. Give me some damn food. No more tracking. But that's not what I'm doing right now, because I've learned through my own mistakes. And that's why I'm stressing this. Like, if you have a coach, which you obviously should, it's just one of those things. Like, it's really difficult to get out of our own way. So if you have a coach, don't abandon the coach when you are finished with your fat loss phase. Like, you should work through the hardest part with a coach. Solidify your results. Let's establish, and I know it's not exciting. Like, oh, really? We're going to focus on getting back to maintenance and just, you know, leaning in on quality habits and making sure that this is the new normal. Yes, you're right. It's not going to trigger, you know, an exciting dopamine release. But you know what it is going to do? It's going to help you be fit for the rest of your life. It's going to help you for years and years on end. because so many people get this part wrong. And they, you know, first of all, the biggest mistake is not hiring a coach in the first place. You've ended up spinning your wheels for way longer than you need to. But then don't lose out on the greatest asset that you have. When you have the accountability, when you have the support, when you have the guidance that you need to get to your goals and you've reached them and you're like celebrating the fact that you lost 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds, that's just the beginning. Don't skip out on the part where it becomes your new normal. That is the most important thing. I'm going through it right now. I'm day one of my first calorie increase, and I'm going to make sure that I keep this framed in because I have been burned too many times in the past by my own mistakes. And I'm sure that you can look back at your own mistakes as well. Just learn from it. Get a quality coach to guide you through the process of reaching your fat loss goals, your body composition goals, whatever that looks like for you. And then let them help you solidify the results. And once you've solidified and that's your new norm, you feel really good about where you're at. Now you can take it and run with it on your own. And that's how it pays off years and years and years down the road. So it's like the one time short term intervention that pays off forever. So that's just my two cents. That's not even what we're talking about. That's not even the topic. I just wanted to share from my own personal experience because it's like, this is the time where most people are like, oh shit, summer's right around the corner. I need to start getting dialed in. I need to start focusing. By the way, this is why I start in January, because now I can solidify in March and April and May and really have a strong base of I have the result that I want and I've solidified the result that I want and I have the flexibility that I want going into the summer where there's more, where I want to be more flexible and I want to look better. And just for vanity purposes, I want to look better in the summer than I do in the winter. Okay. So there's no shame in that. If you're one of those people that's like, oh shit, it's March, I don't have that much time. Because if you think about it, you're going to need somewhere around 12-ish weeks, 12 to 16 weeks. So you've got March to April, April to May, May to June. At a minimum, we're already in June at that point. Then you have to solidify. So that's where people make the mistake of like, okay, I reached my fat loss goals. Now it's summer YOLO season. And then they end up in August feeling like, oh my God, what happened? Now I'm back at square one. Now they diet again in September. And then the holidays hit. And then they diet again. Like, do you see how this becomes a never-ending cycle? Unless you listen to what I'm saying. Get yourself a coach to walk you through the fat loss phase and stay with your coach until you solidify. That is it. It's actually that simple. Like for real, it's that simple. Two-step process. Get yourself a coach to walk you through the fat loss phase. Stay with the coach to solidify your results. And then once you are comfortable with where you're at, you have the flexibility and freedom that you want, you have the new normal, then take it and run with it on your own. It doesn't have to be a pop coach. I just happen to think that we're the best in the business, but I'm very biased. So of course I say that. What you should do is you should listen to coaches who share freely about what they do and who they help and how they do it, and listen to who resonates with you. Like, who do you resonate with? Who do you feel connected to? Who do you feel like is the right person for what you're looking for? Reach out to them, have a conversation, and then make a decision from there. That's how you should approach it, regardless of who it is. That should be the process. Listen, absorb, reach out, communicate, make a decision, and then you're good to go. So the real thing that I was going to talk about is, and by the way, if you do connect with our message and you feel like we can help, I'm pretty confident that we can if you're a listener. Our best clients are always podcast listeners, by the way. just because I share everything that we do here. So if you are a listener, you're probably a good fit. Just go to neurotypetraining.com/apply if you're interested in talking about coaching, because you want to achieve your goals and you want to maintain them. And that's really what we're all about, is making sure that you sustain and maintain the progress that you make. So neurotypetraining.com/apply, and that's where you can fill out an application and we can have a chat and just talk about what it might look like for you. Anyway, there's three things that are stopping progress, and there are only three. And again, you can try to slice this up in any different way possible. It always comes back to the big three. So if you have a goal, again, this can be weight related. So you might say, I really want to lose some body fat. This can be muscle related. This can be health related. This can be longevity related. I just want to live to 120. I don't know, set a high goal. It's probably going to happen eventually where we'll start seeing, people live to 110, 120 and beyond. Whatever your goal is, there's only three things. Three. That's it. Three things. Everything falls under these three buckets. And I'm drawing this out intentionally because I want you to come up with your own guesses, but I'm going to reveal it right now. The first one should come as no surprise. Nutrition, obviously. That would be the easiest one to guess, I would imagine. Because nutrition drives pretty much everything. When it comes to your weight, it obviously influences health. It influences your ability to maintain or grow muscle. All of it. Nutrition, obviously a big one. So that's number one. Number two is movement. And I am combining training and just like daily movement into one bucket because it's easier that way. Yes, I could have made that subcategories where there's like dedicated workouts and then movement outside of that. But let's just put it under one umbrella because movement is important. So like I talked about how, by the way, I should also mention, I didn't even shout out the fact that Mel came back from her trip down. Also, she did the same thing. She came back on Thursday, weighed in on Friday or Saturday, and she was down. So she didn't even give herself that long. She weighed in on Friday or Saturday, was down from when she left. So for those of you who are like, oh, Mike, you're a man. It's easier for men. Yeah, it is. It's not fair. It just is. Mel is a perimenopausal woman in her 40s. Sorry, Mel. But I think people know that by now. Anyway, and she's a petite woman at that. So when she eats and when she drinks, there's a little bit more of an influence there, right? But even she came back down from the trip. Why? My guess is that because we walked a lot, and she walked a lot while she was gone. Like I said, we had that day where it was close to 30,000 steps. It's the great equalizer. Movement is the great equalizer. It truly is. Because here's the thing. We could not have come back down, both of us, unless we had the movement. Now, she worked out more than I did. I only worked out once. So we worked out Friday and we worked out Saturday, but then I didn't work out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I think she worked out almost all those days except one or two, but the working out part is pretty irrelevant. It's just to do it, right? Like it didn't actually make much of a difference. What made a difference is the movement, the walking, the steps. That's the great equalizer. That's how you can go away and consume a lot of calories. But now here's the thing. We were probably still pretty close to a deficit. And the reason why I say that is because we only had two big meals. That's it. Two big meals. So on the days where it was like big indulgent breakfast and big indulgent dinner, even with when I had a Tuesday night where I had cookies and ice cream plus drinks, plus a big dinner, plus a big breakfast, even still, because of the whole week of a lot of steps and movement and a day of close to 30,000 steps, you know, even if you think about like two indulgent meals, what's that going to be like, you know, maybe 1500 calories each. So, and I'm quite literally telling you that was it. So maybe 3,000 to 4,000 calories for me. And then walking as much as, so if my maintenance is around 31, 32, and then I'm walking an additional 20,000 steps over what I typically would walk on a day. Now that wasn't my average, but my average was still a lot higher from walking all over Vegas. So my point is that movement is the great equalizer. And when it comes to progress, a lot of people don't move enough, and then a lot of people don't train effectively. Training comes into play when you're talking about body composition and longevity and health, because muscle is like the most health promoting tissue that we have. So it is strongly connected to longevity, living longer. It's connected to better metabolic health, better hormone health. There's so many advantages. It also allows you to eat more, which is a nice little side advantage. So when I say movement, I'm talking about all movement, training, walking, any activity that you enjoy doing, like, you know, for me, playing tennis, things like that. Movement is the other bucket. So I'm guessing that you know what the third one is. The third one is kind of this confusing one that a lot of people struggle to comprehend, because it can fit so many things within this bucket, and that's stress. Now, I think it's really important that I start this conversation by saying stress in isolation cannot make you gain weight. Stress in isolation cannot make you gain weight. It's what stress causes you to do that makes you gain weight. And I think that's really important, because a lot of times people will assume, oh, I'm so stressed, so my body is just packing on fat. It doesn't work that way. You can't store energy from nowhere, right? You cannot store energy from nowhere. Think about it like this. Okay, imagine yourself right now with the exact amount of body fat that you have. Okay, so your existing body fat right now, as it is today, right now, if zero calories, zero energy, zero calories, there was no additional calories coming into your system, zero, where would the additional fat storage come from? It can't happen. You can't store fat out of nothing. Fat is stored energy. So if we take, right, like think about it like this. If you take your existing bank account, it can't change unless there's inputs or outputs. Okay, so stress in and of itself, in isolation, cannot make you gain fat. It's the actions and behaviors and things that happen as a result of stress that can cause weight gain. And that's really important to distinguish, because we have a lot of research that shows people who are sleep deprived, even just one single night of sleep deprivation causes an increase in hunger hormones. You're going to have more, you're going to have more hunger and more cravings, a decrease in activity. So you're going to subconsciously move less. So what happens? We see in research that people who are sleep deprived eat more. It's not because stress magically created energy out of thin air, but it created a hormonal reaction that makes it easier to overconsume. You might find that you cope with stress by eating. You might find that you use food as comfort, as something that's safe and stable. Maybe you have an emotional reaction to something and you gravitate towards food. Again, these things in isolation, they can't stress in and of itself. And the reason why I'm emphasizing that is because stress isn't all bad. Stress is actually a really good thing when we're able to properly recover from it. We lose fat through a stress response. Cortisol, which is the stress hormone, which everybody is so afraid of, the stress hormone cortisol literally mobilizes stored energy. It's a stress response to take fat out of the cells and insert it into the bloodstream. Mobilizing stored energy is one of cortisol's main jobs. It should be called the readiness hormone because that's what it does. It gets you ready for whatever stressor you're about to face. Without stress, we can't lose fat. Without stress, we can't build muscle. Stress is literally part of the muscle building process. We put ourselves in a physically compromised situation where our body believes that it's about to get crushed by a barbell or whatever weight you're doing. You're breaking down muscle tissue, which is a stressor. That's why there's increases in adrenaline and dopamine and cortisol. All that happens while you're working out. And then your body, being the intelligent, adaptive machine that it is like, well, we don't want to get crushed under that barbell again. Let's rebuild. And if all things are signaled properly, it's going to rebuild stronger and thicker muscles. But that's everything that we want to get better at. There has to be an imposed stressor. The problem arises when stress is persistent and chronic and there's not enough recovery. That's why I constantly talk about not dieting too much, not dieting too extremely, not over-exercising, not doing too much cardio, right? There's certain things that we're adding unnecessary stress to an already stressed out system in a lot of cases. Like if you already have lifestyle stress because you work a demanding job, let's say you're in a toxic relationship or you have whatever type of other stressors in your life. And then you're like, oh, and also I'm going to eliminate carbs and try to eat no sugar and try to fast my way to my body composition goals. Like you're just adding stress on top of stress. Now, once again, that's not going to create weight gain in isolation, but it will make it really easy for you to binge and overindulge and have a hard time staying consistent. So when you think about, well, what about hormonal things? What about, you know, if I have low progesterone? What if I'm estrogen dominant? What if I have low sex hormones? What if my thyroid is all jacked up? Guess what? Same bucket. We're talking about stressors. Gut health, stressors, all falls under the same bucket. My point is that if we just look at it from these three lenses, nutrition, movement, and stress, it becomes pretty clear. The path becomes pretty clear. Because if we look at the stress bucket, and that bucket is pretty empty, right? Like I said, maybe it is something hormonal. Maybe you are going through perimenopause. Maybe you do have, maybe you have Hashi's like I do. Okay, so the stress bucket is pretty empty. Well, do you think that we should empty the nutrition bucket and empty the training/movement bucket as well? Of course not. It becomes pretty straightforward. We're like, this bucket over here is empty. Let's fill these other buckets to make up for it. What does that look like? That means, well, if my stress bucket is empty, I probably shouldn't be eating like a child when it comes to my nutrition, whether that's from a quality standpoint, just eating a bunch of shit food, or whether that's from a dieting standpoint, dieting too extremely or too long, too restrictively. From a training standpoint, if I have an empty stress bucket, I probably shouldn't be training 6-7 days a week. I probably shouldn't be adding a whole bunch of extra cardio. I should probably be thinking about restorative movement and walking. And maybe I'm strength training 3 to 4 days a week and being very intentional about slow and controlled movements. And I'm not just trying to burn as many calories and sweat my ass off in the gym. It becomes pretty easy to think about these things if you just realize that if you're not progressing the way that you want, it's because of the three things: nutrition, movement, and stress. And if you notice, I'm big on the stress side of things because that's usually what messes people up when it comes to consistency. I don't know why I can't stay consistent. Like, well, maybe because you're sleeping 4 hours a night, or maybe because you're drinking every night, or maybe like you're adding all of this unnecessary stress to your system. It's why the sponsors, like if you think about who I work with and the supplements that I take personally, never once do you hear me talking about like, oh, there's this hardcore, you know, stimulant pump product and it gives you all this fake energy. Everything I talk about is restoration, helping you to, you know, get better micronutrition, fill those vitamins and minerals that may be missing, unwind, decompress, put your body in this rest and digest state. There's a reason for that. It's because most people are missing out on the stress bucket. They've emptied the stress bucket. And the more that we can fill it, the more that those other two pieces fall into place. So I talk about my routine with Organifi products. My routine: green juice in the morning, crisp apple green juice in the morning. Shilajit gummies every day, but mainly before my workout. Otherwise, I just take it whenever. Shilajit is an adaptogen, right? I'm talking about an adaptogen. I'm not talking about a, you know, intense pre-workout stimulant. I'm talking about an adaptogen. I take my gold chocolate in the evening, right? When I feel like I might be getting sick, I take the immunity product. All things that are recovery focused. There's intent behind that. I want better sleep. I want to remove stress off my system so my body responds. Oh, by the way, this fat loss phase that has been my most successful, yet my easiest to date, I've been focused way more on internal health, way more on internal health, taking care of my thyroid health, being more intentional about food choices, quality. So there's a reason to it. The green juice, crisp apple, just because that flavor is so delicious. Get my micronutrition, quality vitamins and minerals, and water to start my day. The Shilajit gummies, one of the most powerful adaptogens that not many people know about. The gold chocolate, unwind at the end of the day. Oh, and it also happens to be delicious and creates this nice little dessert warm flavor. Mel takes the Harmony product. That's a hormone balancer. Also recovery focused. There's a reason why she's been really successful during this fat loss phase. There's a method to the madness. By the way, you can get 20% off all Organifi products if you go to Organifi.com/popfam. That's Organifi.com/popfam. Organifi has some of the most, like the best ingredients. I'm saying some of, like, they are hyper obsessed with quality. So you know you're in good hands. Green juice, highly recommend the crisp apple, the gold chocolate or the harmony, depending on which direction you want to go in the evening. Also the Shilla G gummies and also the collagen. I forgot about the collagen as well. For joint health, bone health. Again, you know, I'm looking at this through the lens of I'm going to turn 40 this summer. Internal health is a big priority for me. And oh, by the way, it makes the aesthetic side of things much more effective. But it always comes down to these three things. And there's no other, like, you can try to place it like, oh, well, what about my metabolism? Your metabolism is directly influenced by your nutrition, your movement, and your stress. Directly influenced. You can improve your metabolism. You can improve your hormone health. You can improve your gut health. It's going to fall into these three categories every single time, no matter how you slice it. It's always going to fall within those three. If your nutrition is shit, you're going to have a hard time progressing. If you're not moving very much and you're super sedentary and you don't have proper training, it's going to be very hard to progress. Now, the training piece is to get the body composition that you desire. The training piece is to actually shape your body the way that you want. So if you're like, yeah, I want to get leaner, but like I really want, you know, striations in my shoulders, and I really want thick, strong legs, or whatever the thing is that you desire, that's where the training becomes super important. When it comes to just health, longevity, muscle, right? Like, it doesn't matter how your body is shaped, but muscle is super important, and walking is super important. Those are like the two big rocks from the movement side of things. Walking is so underrated. It is truly the great equalizer. Truly. I'll never forget when Mel and I took our trip to Italy in 2019. We ate gelato like at least twice a day. That time it wasn't just two meals. It was like three indulged, because the Italian, like, I still have yet to have food better than in Italy. Every meal was just a straight up banger. Every single meal. And we came back completely unscathed because we walked like 25 to 30,000 steps a day, every single day. It's the great equalizer. And that was like, I can't remember how long we went away for. I think that one was a 10-day trip. So extended 10-day trip, all the food, all the drinks. We had so many Aperol spritzes. And came back completely unscathed, because I'm telling you, walking is the great equalizer. But it's always going to fall into those three categories every single time. So take a look at your own nutrition, your own training/movement, and your own stress bucket. Now, that one is tough to assess. It's tough to assess for yourself. It really is, because a lot of times we don't recognize the things that we're doing that are actually making things more difficult. Like, oh, I thought I was supposed to fast and eliminate carbs and eat 1200 calories, and yet you're creating this insanely stressful environment, and then you're wondering why you can't stay consistent. That's why I say the ultimate shortcut is just to get a coach. It really is. I know it's like so funny how many people resist that. They're like, oh, you just want me to sign up for coaching. I don't care if you sign up for coaching with us. I want you to get to where you want to be. I want you to see progress. I want you to keep your progress. I want you to get off of the diet hamster wheel. I want you to stop losing weight and gaining it back. I want you to stop obsessing over your weight and how you look and how you feel and how your clothes fit and how you look in the mirror. You want to solve those things for good. There's no way around it. Get yourself a coach. Can you do it on your own? I'm sure you can. Have you yet? If not, the answer is so simple. It is the simplest solution. Oh, but I don't know if I can afford it. I bet you can. I bet you that you can. I bet you that you can either afford it by looking at your current budget and where you're spending money, or I bet you that you can find a coach that's really good that fits within your budget. Again, I don't care who you hire. I want you to get the help that you deserve and stop being frustrated. And that's the path. It's the easiest, most surefire path. So either take a look at where you're spending money and recognize that there are probably areas that you can cut back or that you can reallocate resources, or give yourself a number based off of what you have available and then go find a coach that fits the number. It's not that complicated. It really isn't. I know people get all butthurt when I talk about this. Oh, you just don't get it. No, I do. Because I hired a coach when I had zero money to spend on a coach. You want to know why? Because I recognized that there was areas that were luxuries that I was spending money on that I didn't even think about as luxury until I actually looked at my finances and budget and I recognized, here's what I can afford. Yeah. Was I a little bit strapped? Of course. Was it worth it? Every fucking cent. So if it bothers you, there's probably a reason that it bothers you. You probably know deep down that you are capable of making it work. Anyway, that's not the point. It's just reality. And again, it doesn't matter. You can deny. You can deny till you die. That is totally fine. It's just creating unnecessary struggle. So that's the path. It works. It's proven. We've got research. We've got studies. We've got anecdotal evidence, like across the board. Accountability works. Support works. Guidance works. It all works. You just have to do it. You just have to do it. So hopefully this made sense. If you have questions, feel free to reach out. Just hit me up on Instagram @coach_Mike_Milner. And I will talk to you next time.